Well, it was sort of a surprise when I got up this morning to hear that President Trump had fairly abruptly decided to return to Washington from the G7 summit. Did this take everybody by surprise yesterday?
It did late last night, and asked about his decision on Air Force One. He said that he wanted to be here to monitor things and discuss things in person, that he didn't want to just have to rely on the telephone and various phone calls. But of course, this was kind of unexpected change in plans late last night, and it kind of raised the question of, you know, is the U.S. going to be taking any sort of additional action to support Israel? Our Jennifer Jacobs, who is traveling with the president, said, according to U.S. officials, the U.S. is not joining Israel offensively in its military operation. That was as of late last night. As we know, Tony, the U.S. has been assisting in a defensive sense, helping to intercept incoming missiles, fired from Iran into Israel. But the big question is what happens next? And, you know, the president, again, pressed by reporters on the plane on this question, if the U.S. would help, would do additional things to help Iran, or excuse me, to help Israel, he said, we'll have to kind of wait and see what happens. But right now, in his view, he said things are going well.
And Natalie, this comes after the president on his Truth Social yesterday had called for everyone to immediately evacuate Tehran.
Right. That's that was also something that, you know, raised everyone's suspicion. And asked about that post on social media, he said he just wants people to be safe. He also on Truth Social posted that that the reports that he was calling reached out to Iran for peace talks, he called that fake news. He went on to say if they want to talk, they know how to reach him, saying that they should have taken the deal on the table, referencing, you know, the nuclear negotiations that had been underway between the U.S. and Iran. Earlier, he had posted that, you know, reports that French President Macron saying that he was going back to Washington to work on a ceasefire deal was false, saying that he wants something bigger than that, that he wants what he called a real end with Iran giving up entirely on nuclear. But again, the question remains, how does that happen? And, can diplomacy help solve that, or is it going to be something more? The president also asked about reports that he's considering sending Vice President Vance and Special Middle East Envoy Steve Witkoff to meet with Iranian negotiators. The president said he may, but again, it depends on what happens now that he's back in Washington.
Now that he's back in Washington, we can look back on his basically one day that he had at the G7 summit. And I know that there was movement on a deal with the United Kingdom yesterday.
That's right. That's the framework that had been announced weeks ago. Of course, you know, these trade deals and tariffs would have been at the very top of the agenda had it not been for this conflict hanging over all of the leaders. So much of the focus, much of the questioning by reporters focused on Iran and Israel. But, you know, ahead of traveling to the G7, the president saying that, you know, he anticipated more deals would be announced. Of course, the window for these negotiations ahead of that July deadline for, you know, what the president has called reciprocal tariffs to take effect is coming to a close. And so we can expect to see, you know, kind of a flurry of negotiations. But so far, all we have is that framework that had been announced between the U.S. and the U.K., with details still being ironed out. And, of course, then the talks between the U.S. And China and the agreement there. We do know that Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent stayed behind in Canada, you know, to continue on day two of the G7 to speak to these world leaders and key economies who remain in Canada on, to round out the summit there.
While the president was in Canada, we all know that relations between the United States and Canada have been ruffled a bit over the last few months with the president's comments about the 51st state and things like that. What was the reception like for the president in Canada in the light of all of that?
You know, when we saw President Trump and the Prime Minister, Mark Carney, in that, you know, pool spray yesterday afternoon, that's when reporters are allowed in the room to kind of catch the tail end of that meeting and ask them a couple of questions. It was very civil, and President Trump actually complimented Carney on running, you know, the G7 well. So while there have been these tensions, even thinking back to the meeting between President Trump and Carney here at the White House several weeks ago, you know, while there's these, you know, there's been kind of these threats back and forth, when the leaders get together, it does remain civil, and it didn't, you know, devolve into anything more than that. And again, weighing over the summit is the very serious conflict that now is in its fifth day between Israel and Iran, as well as, you know, Russia's war on Ukraine. That was supposed to be another big topic, and it remains a big topic for the leaders there. So I think that the tone of the G7, you know, took on new significance and a more serious tone in light of world events.
Well, Natalie, thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about the abrupt departure of the president from the G7, what was accomplished there, and what's going on in the talks in the Middle East. Thank you so much, Natalie.
Thank you, Tony.